Well, morning everyone. I hope you can hear me. You're quite a handsome lot from this point of view, because normally I'm staring at the backs of most of you. So this morning we're going to focus on the first letter of the acronym PARY. P for pause, R for rejoice, A for ask, and Y for yield. So as Pete Gregg says in his book, to start, we must stop. Without pausing to pray, we're not going to get very far. And for some of us, actually stopping is the problem. I think most of us are quite good at praying, but it's actually the pausing that presents the problem. I know it is for me, certainly. The psalmist counsels us to be still and know that I'm God in Psalm 46. That Hebrew word for be still, that command is rapha, meaning to weaken, to let go, to release, to surrender to God. So it's a particular kind of pausing that we want to cultivate. It's not just stopping. It's a surrender. It's knowing who God is, knowing the nature of the one to whom we come when we pray. So pausing is relational. It's God-directed. Believing is not about whipping up some state of faith and persuasion. It's deeply relational, where we say, I see who you are. I know who you are. I trust that what you say is true. And from that place of praying, it feels quite different. We know the nature of the one to whom we come. So I want to offer some thoughts on prayer. For those of you who don't know, I'm a psychologist. Don't hold that against me. I want us to understand what happens when we pray, a little bit from the human perspective. We'll look at what mindfulness is and perhaps have a little bit of space, actually, to pause, to take some time to be with God. But first, I want to present a couple of challenges when we pray. You have to bear with me because in my line of work, I deal with all the problems of what it means to be human, so I have quite a skewed view on life. There is a saying that you don't know how unhappy you are until you've had therapy. And I was saying to my students that having therapy is a bit like shopping in IKEA. You go in for one thing, but you come out with six. And really, the Christian life is a bit like that. The closer we get to God, the more we realise we need him. So we don't have to fear that, but we lean into that, and we can know his power to help us. So challenge number one, struggling to be present. Here's a beautifully drawn picture of a person. Here we are. We come in skin. We have bodies. We can only be in one place at a time, even though you might try to be in two places at a time. But do you know that you can actually time travel? There's part of you that can be thinking ahead to the future, anticipating what's going to happen next, worrying, looking ahead. There's also part of you that can look back at the past, remembering with gratitude or stuck with some sense of unfinished business. So sometimes we're a bit like this. We're here, but parts of us are worrying whether we put the oven on for lunch. We're thinking about the past. We're worrying. We're thinking about our work, our business, the things we have to do. It's all very natural. So we can be here, but not really be here. Have you ever had that experience of talking to somebody who's not quite there with you? Think about that in terms of prayer. How often do we struggle to be fully present to God? So this phrase that you'll hear in mindfulness about being fully present is no mystery. In a way, we're just trying to come with all of ourselves, all of our time-travelling abilities, all that we're holding, before God himself. But that's not easy. So the second challenge we have, now for this I do need a volunteer who is not colourblind, who can read. The slide on the screen's a little bit funny about the colour, but you'll have to bear with me, and some of you can speak up quite clear. I'm looking at Jeremy, would you be willing to volunteer? You're just going to stand, I'm going to show you a slide, and what I want you to do is read it as fast as you can, like you would a book from left to right, but I want you to name the colour of the ink of the words. Okay, are you ready? Go.
Red, blue, yellow, green, orange, yellow.
No, hold it. The colour of the ink, please, Jeremy. The ink. Round of applause. Oh, gosh. That was kind of agony. Well done, Jeremy. That was painful and agony. Now, I know you can read. I trust you can read. So what's happening there? Part of us is trying to name the colour of the ink, but part of us is reading the word. So the meaning of the word is interfering with the task of naming the colour. I didn't tell you to do that. But automatically we have parts of ourselves that will just do stuff. Cognitively, I like to throw in a psychological word. So we have to operate on automatic a bit, obviously. But we're going to think about what that means for prayer. If I asked you all to get a pen and paper and memorize what you see, I'd give you 30 seconds. To memorize what you see, really pay attention to this image. Just look at that image of a clock with Roman numerals just for a moment. Whoops. Oh dear, I'm having clicker issues. What did you see for the number 4? How many of you would have noticed it is 1111? Go on, be honest. Oh dear, not a very attentive lot, are you? All clocks, Roman numerals, the 4 is 1111, because it's aesthetically better to balance it, apparently, according to clockmakers. But again, what happens, even when we're trying to pay attention, we do not engage with what's in front of us. We trade speed for accuracy. There's our clock. So it's no wonder that the writer of the book of Proverbs continually says, pay attention, listen. What does this mean for us in prayer? Is it that we end up on a kind of spiritual autopilot? I know I do. Where we think we've seen something, but we're just drawing from what we've seen before or what we think we know. So our challenge is to be present, fully present to God. Our challenge is to get out of autopilot. And this concept of mindfulness helps us a little bit with this. And as Lawrence said earlier, mindfulness is new in some ways, but actually it goes back centuries. Bishop Diadochus, back in the 5th century, says, let us keep our eyes always fixed on the depth of our heart with an unceasing mindfulness of God. So Christian mindfulness is about being aware of ourselves and others, but developing that awareness of God and being fully present to him. Here's a definition of mindfulness. Leanne has been staring at this beautiful tree for hours. She was meant to be in the office. Tomorrow she'll be fired. In this way, mindfulness has solved her work-related stress. So mindfulness is not about achieving some particular state or even calm, actually. It's about being present to things as they are. And sometimes they're difficult or good or mixed. So a definition is paying attention in a particular way. It's on purpose, that is, it's intentional. We want to be out of autopilot. It's in the present moment, trying not to time travel and be in three or four places at once. And non-judgmentally. Now, we haven't got time this morning to get into a theological discussion about non-judgmentalness of mindfulness, but trust me, there is a sense in which we don't have to censor everything we feel or experience. So it's about being present. Thomas Merton, the American Trappist monk, says this, that there's degrees of attention. The glance, the cursory look, and the long look. We want to take a long look at God. Self-forgetting, therefore contemplation. How often do we take a long look at God? Really pausing. I don't know about you, but I want to get on and do stuff and feel different and get stuff done. And mindfulness is less about being in that doing mode, but more about being before him. We have to get stuff done, but we want that to come out of a place of deep connection to God. So I hope you're getting a little bit of a flavor of what mindfulness is. In some ways, it's about letting go, that letting go we talked about at the start, letting go of your agenda, letting go of your need to feel or be a certain way. We can fall into that in patterns in Christian life. I like to think of myself as quite a good Christian, but really there is no such thing as a good Christian. We let go of our agendas a little bit. So what happens when we pray? We don't shy away from the complexity of what it means to be human and be on autopilot and be able to do three things at once. We lean into that. Jesus deeply and profoundly understands what it means to be human. He in the incarnation, he really connected with us as humans. But by adopting a kind of mindful or attentive approach to prayer, we can wrestle with some of these challenges and more fully connect with God and be aware of ourselves and be aware of him. I think the psalmist that we read this morning kind of cottoned on to this a bit. In Psalm 42, we see his desire for God. In verse 1, my soul pants for you. He's aware of his desire. We see him looking back and remembering the past, longing. In verse 4, I pour out my soul, these things I remember, how I used to go to the house of God. We also seeing himself struggle. I'm downcast. And he seems to be worried, perhaps, that he's forgotten. I wonder if he thinks things will never change. Will it always be like this? Why have you forgotten me? And we see him talking to himself, saying, why are you downcast, my soul? Put your hope in God. So as a psychologist, I want to say to you today, talking to yourself is very, very healthy and biblical. So he's having this conversation, he's aware of himself, and he doesn't park that outside the door of the prayer room. He brings it all in before God. And here we are, centuries later, reading, connecting with his human story of all that he was going through. Now, we may not have his anguish in the same way right now, but we do have times when we're pushed and pulled in life. So we can follow his example to just simply be aware of all of that, all of ourselves, the bits that are time travelling, the bits that are present, the bits that are wrestling, and come before God. Some time ago, I decided to try and be spiritual, and I spent 100 days, I set myself a task of having 100 days, consecutive days, where I spent 10 minutes just with God. I had no agenda as to what was going to happen. I just thought, I'm going to turn up. So some days I prayed, I might have, some days I worshipped, some days I listened, some days I was just tired and grumpy and resentful. But I just came and let go of an agenda. And actually, at the end of that 100 days, I realized how much I do try and come before God a certain way and be a good Christian. And that might just be me. But I think it really helped me to let go of my own agenda, to be more aware of who I am, but more aware of who God is. I realized how much I leave outside of the prayer room. I realized how skewed some of my ideas about who God is were. How I look at the clock, look at God in not quite the right way. So I learned to be curious, and I think I'm learning to be present to God, simply fully present to Him. So we're going to take some time this morning to pause. One of the things they say about mindfulness is you can't learn it, you have to experience it, and I think that's true. And obviously with pausing, we can talk about pausing, we can talk about prayer, but it's important we take that time to pause. So I want to lead you in a couple of simple prayers, and we'll allow a little bit of space. Don't need to try and feel or be a certain way, that's the point, but just be aware and bring yourselves as much as you're able, fully present to God. So just get comfortable. Be aware of your bodies. Feel free to sit, stand or kneel. Let us come before God. Be attentive to your thoughts and feelings and your body as we pause. And where parts of you wander off, or think about what's for lunch, imagine yourself gently shepherding those thoughts back into this present moment, like sheep into the fold of this moment in which God dwells. So we come to God as I am. Briefly name for yourself what you're experiencing in this present moment, in your body, or thoughts or feelings, your desires, where your mind is right now. Simply name that silently to yourself before God. As I am, I come. As it is, name what you're holding in your life at the moment, things that you're aware of, the bigger things, the smaller details, the things that are difficult or that you're grateful for right now. Lord, as it is, we come. as he is. Allow some attributes of God to come to your mind and name them as you focus on who he is. Strong, loving, truthful, awesome, mighty, shepherd.